Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. Or if you're new here, welcome. It's obviously now the summer break, which is the worst period for Formula One fans. But we are still going to be around, so make sure you follow us on all our socials. They're all in the description down below. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, we're there. Also, if you want to listen to this podcast, please go over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars while you're there. It does help out. And yeah, we've got a lot to talk about still this week. Hungary, much better than I anticipated. And I think it even beat last year as well, which I thought was a pretty interesting race. But we're going to dive into that now.
All right, guys, welcome along to episode 21. No, Luke, it's not a milestone yet. Welcome along. Hope you guys are all good. Before we get started, Luke, how are you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks.
Yeah.
I got a sty. So if you see me like sort of, it's my right eye. If I look like I'm twitching, I'm not. It's because it just feels like I've constantly got something in my eye.
You're not winking at someone.
No, but I will be like this quite a lot because it's just uncomfortable.
Luke's got a really interesting story because, you know, whenever I come around here, you basically tell me the boring stories, don't you? Why don't you tell the public or the viewers what happened yesterday, what you ate yesterday, the deal you got with pizza? Because I feel if I have to listen to it...
I thought it was quite good. I ate 2 10-inch pizzas, 8 chicken strips and 4 pieces of garlic bread. And I got 2 cans of drink and it was like $17.99. So the reason I did it was because the meal for one was like £4 cheaper or something. So I was like, no, not today, mate. I know how to like not get mugged off.
Did you actually save any or did you eat it all?
No, I ate it all.
Oh man, that's...
I ate everything. I don't see the problem with that.
That's not money saving, is it? Because you spent an extra fiver and you had...
twice as much.
Well, yeah,
that sounds like money to me.
That sounds like a good deal. But yeah, right. So that's all. We're all caught up with that. So yeah. Good news.
Did you have a good weekend?
You're actually asking me?
Just for them, really.
Just for our... Yeah, no, weekend was good. Back working at the Amex now. Obviously, football season is restarting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So if you don't know, Matt actually works at Brighton and Hove Albion, who are a tiny, tiny little football club. But it's quite cool. You get to... You've met all the players, surely?
I have. But they're not tiny, tiny club, are they? They're not a tiny, tiny club. Come on.
They're a pecker club, they are.
Oh, man. Didn't we score a screamer against you last year?
Well, what does that mean?
Well, didn't we drew with you, didn't we, last year?
I don't think you drew us. I went to the Amex to watch it.
Yeah.
We won.
No, at Anfield, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that was like 2 years ago.
That was
when we had like no one. Everyone was injured.
Anyway, this isn't a football podcast.
No. Although it is going to be for the summer break. We're changing the name to Soccer Cup.
Subscribers just yeah. Drop, yeah. We're no, joking. Don't worry. We're not yeah, doing it's that. We're not doing it's that. Not. But other than that, yeah, it was a nice chill weekend.
And just touching on the summer break, we are still going to be here. Like I said in the intro, we have got like different things planned, which... There's still going to be stuff to talk about. News is still going to be coming thick and fast.
Obviously, we'll be discussing news, but like we said before, if you listen from the beginning, we've got a lot of exciting, what's the word I'm looking for? Challenges for us both, yeah. Because there's a lot of scenarios which we've been sent over the last few months, and we want to kind of just bring it to the table, have a discussion. So the next few weeks are going to be interesting. They're going to be fun, so stay tuned for that. But talking about news, this is your favourite segment.
Yeah, but normally it's because I don't know what the news is. I feel like you're going to come out with the biggest piece of news, which has come out today. So it's Monday.
It's fresh. Obviously, we heard about Sebastian Vettel retiring after last week's episode. Quickly, before we move on to the breaking news today, how do you feel about that? Vettel leaving F1.
Did that come out after?
Came out after a podcast, yeah.
I think he's called it at the right time.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Because, look, the man... Think how many new F1 fans have come in. People are not going to show that man respect. He is...
Yeah.
Like we said last week, was it 22% of all race wins have come from 3 drivers?
Yeah.
And he is one of them. Won 4 back-to-back championships. He's got the most consecutive wins in a row, which I'm pretty sure, I think it's 9.
I believe you're right, yeah.
And, you know, he gave Lewis a really good run in the Ferrari. If he didn't crash out at Hockenheim in 2018, he might have gone on to even win that season.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you see him in this Aston Martin, which is just, I don't even know what to say about that car. And even his last year at Ferrari, you know, it didn't paint him in a good light. And whether that's because he just hasn't had the car or whether he's, you know, lost his edge a little bit, I don't know. But I think he's called it at the right time.
Well, it's interesting. I think when you look at Budapest last year, 2021, you know, he got second, didn't he? I know he lost that position because of there wasn't enough fuel in the car. But he still
has it. He was hot on Ocon's heels.
He was superb then. I still think he's a talented driver. I think he still has it to compete at the top level. I personally believe that. I'm gutted he's leaving. I think he's amazing for the sport.
Yeah.
When you've watched back some of his montages over the years, you kind of forget what he's achieved in the sport. 4 back-to-back world titles, which is
phenomenal. It was pure domination.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to miss him. I think he's brilliant. And, you know,
he seems like a good guy as well. He's got, like,
yeah,
very, very, like, good values. Does a lot of work off the track. And then he sort of brings those values onto the track. You know, you see him supporting different causes and giving them exposure. Stuff, you know, like, even he's gone around the stands litter picking before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that, which, like, has a real influence on younger fans. And
but also, like you say, you know, what he brings with comedy value. Some of the press conferences they've had, you know, him and Lewis, the banter they've had in press conferences. And, like, I'm going to miss that because I think he's just brilliant for the sport. And what the sad thing is, you know, for us, we've watched F1 for years. I know some people think we're just Drive to Survive fans, but we have watched it for years.
Yeah.
What the sad thing is now, you're starting to see the end of an era. You know, we know Seb's going. Eventually, over the next few years, you're going to see Lewis go, Alonso go.
So we've the next already generation, lost Kimi.
Yeah, the next generation is coming through.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, for a lot of you, you've watched these drivers over the years and they're starting to retire. And that's quite sad, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's that sort of like that, you know, mid to late 2000s.
Yeah.
Era, it's those people that you're losing. And I mean, you know, Massa, he was still in the sport not too long ago.
Yeah,
you know, it's slowly just we've lost people, you know, even Rosberg. I know 2016, but just slowly losing all these individuals, and then new people are coming in.
Yeah,
but it's good. I think what is refreshing to see in that sense is the young drivers that are coming through are quality.
Yeah, no, yeah,
it's not like, you know, and there might have been back in, you know, over the days or years, a period where, like, drivers coming in and you think, oh, actually, no one is really, they're all sort of good drivers, but no one is there, like, taking over the world. But, you know, you've got Verstappen coming through who looks like, well, is obviously the next big thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's exciting being able to see, like, okay, who's gonna take over from these? And, then, you know, then you've got Leclerc coming through, and I just think that's nice. You know, it's sad seeing the old generation go, but it's exciting seeing the new ones come through.
Well, it's funny, isn't it, because you look at Seb back when he was winning those titles, he used to drive me mad. You know, he used to win those races, you know, like, always in the camera with the, you know, the freaking finger, like, yeah, look at me, I'm number one. But he's someone who I think if you're not a Red Bull fan back then and you saw someone who was so dominant, I guess it's the same as what we've touched on before. If you've got a driver who's so dominant, people want to see them fail.
It's how people look at Lewis.
Yeah.
Now, that is exactly, that, you know, and again, with like new fans, they probably come in and they love Seb.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's just one of the other drivers. He's funny in press conferences. Seems like a good guy. And then you know, the new generation, I know, like, Max fans and Charles fans, Lando fans,
yeah,
they might hate Lewis because of that domination. And, you know, I personally, I don't understand it. But then I do when I look at, well, yeah, like, people hated Seb.
It was pure, like, see, it was funny. I wasn't a massive fan his first and second win. But once he's won the third and fourth title, his personality started to change. And then you started to see the Seb. I think, I don't know if it's just more the fact he started to relax into it and he was kind of like, I'm going to have a bit more fun with it.
He really matured at the same time.
He matured. And like throughout the whole Ferrari era and, you know, towards his end of his Red Bull era into Ferrari, I just loved him. And it just showed how amazing he is for the support.
Yeah. What you have to remember, Seb is younger than Lewis by like 2 or 3 years. So, you know, when
he's 35 now?
Yeah. So, what, he was winning titles when he was 22, 23?
Yeah, he was the youngest world champion, I believe, wasn't he?
Yeah, he is. It's so, mental. You know, I personally do think good call. Unless there was a chance that he was going to be given a title contending car.
Yeah.
You know, let's not completely wreck that legacy through not even any fault of your own.
No,
just the way that the sport goes.
Do you know what? I think Seb has been amazing for the sport. I think Seb has been amazing for the sport. When you look at what he's done, not only is he a four-time world champion, he is class on and off the track. What he's doing for the sport. So fucking hell, Jesus Christ. I don't know what's going on.
Is everything all right?
I think I'm having a stroke.
That's a big problem.
Call an ambulance. But on a whole, we're going to miss him.
100%.
The sport's going to miss him.
Yeah.
And I really hope he stays around because we need people like that to continue what he's working on.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, Seb is not someone that is just going to... I think he'll step away from the sport completely. But, sorry, my eye. Fucking hell.
If he's just been winking at you.
Yeah.
Happy days.
I think he will step away from the sport. But I do believe he'll be doing many good things.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let us know. Comment down below. Do you think it was right time? Do you think it was wrong time? Comment down below. So, talking of Aston Martin, they today have announced that the person who is replacing Sebastian Vettel is none other than 41-year-old Fernando Alonso.
On a multi-year deal, might I add.
Lawrence Stroll, has offered Alonso a 2-year contract with an extension of a further year. A great financial package and the potential for the Spaniard to turn things around at Aston Martin. I'm not being funny.
Sorry.
Why would you leave? Okay, no, let's get on to it. Let me just finish what I said and then we'll discuss our opinions. Alonso wanted more than a 1-year deal at Alpine. Alpine were only willing to offer him a 1-year deal until the end of 2023 because they believe that actually their next partnership is Piastri and Ocon.
Understandably.
So I get that. So Alpine, from their point of view, only wanted to offer him a 1-year deal.
They're looking ahead at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
I can understand that, despite the fact Alonso, in my opinion, is still outperforming Ocon.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with you on that. So he's obviously signed a multi-year deal at Aston Martin. I'm not being funny, Alonso. You go on and about saying, you know, I want to be up there. I want to be winning things. I'm still, you know, at that level. Well, what are you doing going to Aston Martin? You're going to an Aston Martin where your teammate is Lance Stroll. Don't get me wrong, Lance Stroll, very good at defending. He gets the odd points here and there. But he is now your partner. I don't get it.
And if you don't like the way that Ocon defends against you, my God, you're not going to like this. Someone should tell him. I just found it so bizarre. Look, right. That Alpine is a good car. The best in the midfield.
It's the fourth best team.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see huge changes being made next year. Like, I can't see Aston Martin making that jump is what I'm trying to say.
No.
Would you not rather see out one more year at a team knowing that you're going to be competing at a relatively high level? You're going to be getting points. As opposed to do another 2 years to try and improve an Aston Martin, which is clapped.
Mm.
It just didn't make sense to me.
Do you know how I see it? So you know when Alonso joined McLaren,
mm-hmm.
and he had Van Dorn, was it Van Doorn as his teammate? I think it was Van Doorn. I may have said his name wrong, but
oh, okay. So we're not talking about when he originally joined McLaren.
No, when okay. he went back yeah, to yeah. McLaren when it was a piece of crap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That like orange and black thing yeah, yeah. they had. Yeah.
He went there and he was like, "Oh, we're going to turn this around." He didn't turn it around. He got frustrated and he just left. He was like, I don't want to continue here.
And it's going to be the same.
It's going to be the same at Aston Martin because, look, Alonso has come out and he said, this Aston Martin team is clearly applying the energy and commitment to win and is therefore one of the most exciting teams in F1 today. What has he been watching?
They're not.
Exciting. Can you give me a time when they've been exciting this season? When they go out in Q1?
Yeah, they've had a shocking season. They're okay, so they acquired a very, very good racing point team.
Yeah.
Which had a really good car. Okay, I know, the pink Mercedes, whatever you want to call it. They then make it bad. They then have another year, brand new regulations. They make it really bad.
Yeah.
Where's the progression? Like, if they had improved on last year, okay, and they were sort of on that, like, McLaren level, or just behind, yeah. I could sort of understand him being like, okay, I can buy into this vision, you know. They are improving. They're not. They're worse than last year. I don't really see how they're going to make that jump in one season.
No. Well, Lance Stroll has come out and said, I have known and admired Fernando for many years, and it has always been clear that he is a committed winner like me. You haven't won, mate. I've set out to bring together the best people and develop the right resources and organisation to succeed in this highly competitive sport. All right, you say he's a winner like you. Name me a time where you've won.
Yeah, Fernando is a winner. not like you, mate. The thing is, Lance Stroll has had some ridiculously good teammates. Felipe Massa.
Yeah.
Seb.
Perez.
Alonso. Perez. But, you know, Massa, almost a world champion. Alonso, two-time world champion. Seb, four-time world champion. You know, he has been a lucky man, although he has retired Massa and retired Seb.
He's still here.
Is he going to retire Fernando Alonso?
Answer me this. So, Sebastian Vettel went to Aston Martin, an experienced four-time world champion who can actually... They wanted him to make that Aston Martin better. It hasn't worked out. Can Fernando Alonso go to Aston Martin and turn that team around as a two-time world champion? And would you say he has more to offer than Vettel?
Okay, so if you're going to ask me, am I taking Prime Seb or Prime Alonso? I'm taking Prime Seb.
100%.
Okay, but I do believe at this point in time, Fernando Alonso has more to give. Because Seb, and you know, very understandably, rightly so, focuses on a lot of things outside of racing.
Yeah.
Like he's got, you know, all these good causes that he's trying to, you know, bring to the table, trying to fight change or fight for change. And yeah, I feel like Alonso just really seems like he's right in the mixer. His head is all in Formula One, all in racing. So I do feel like he does have more to bring to the table at this point.
Interesting.
But, you know, there's only so much a driver can bring to the table. Mm. They need the right car behind them. And I know driver feedback really does help with that. But I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a rough 2 years for Alonso.
Well, you know, I hope it works out for him. You know, and it is really positive. You know, he's got Lance Stroll there to try and help him become another world champion. You know,
Aston Martin, British team, technically. We, you know, I'd like to see them do well. But, yeah, I don't know. Strange move. I don't know. What did you guys think? Was it... I just personally, I didn't understand it. Fair enough, he wanted a multi-year deal, but it's like, come on. Absolutely. You're not like a 28-year-old. You know, you're a legend of the sport.
You got enough money.
Yeah, like would you not rather just go out here rather than get a multi-year deal and go out down here?
You know, we may be shocked. They may actually turn it around, and then who knows? They may be that mid-table team. But
absolutely, I mean,
can't see it at the moment.
You know, let's look at Lewis Hamilton jump into Mercedes from McLaren.
Yeah,
where was the sense in that?
This is a whole different thing. Where do you class Hamilton to Alonso? Who would you take, a prime Hamilton or a prime Alonso?
Yeah, but at that point, what had Hamilton? Hamilton hadn't necessarily proven that he was better than Alonso.
No, okay.
Oh, who am I taking?
Separate question, and this goes for you guys at home. Look, who would you take, a prime Hamilton or a prime Alonso?
Anyone that says Alonso has not got their head screwed on. And it's the same, like, you know, you wouldn't say Alonso over Michael Schumacher.
Oh, no.
And it's no disrespect. I would take Alonso over numbers of drivers.
Yeah. Latifi?
No, because he got P1 in FP3.
You know, I'd pick
Alonso. Didn't do that. He hasn't done that this season. So yeah, I would take Latifi.
Okay, before we continue, let's just quickly before we talk about the race. Next driver for Alpine. I mean, for me, there's only one name who's going to take that seat.
Look, can we just talk about this? Because I
don't want to talk about it.
No, because I think we can actually, we've got a good little discussion here, right? So obviously we know that Seb is leaving.
I love this. Luke's actually done a bit of research for once, and it's normally me who has to do all the work, but fair play. Well done, Luke.
Okay, so look, right, the driver lineup for next year.
Yep.
There are still gaps in it.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to
Can I guess? Can you go by team and I'll guess?
Okay. A lot of them are very obvious.
Okay, yeah.
Red Bull.
Verstappen, Perez.
Yeah. Ferrari.
Sainz, Leclerc.
Probably not in that order.
Sainz.
Mm. Merck.
Hamilton, Russell.
McLaren.
Well, at this moment in time, Norris, Ricciardo.
Yeah. But like, all these people are contracted for the year.
Yeah.
Alfa Romeo.
Bottas, Scholl.
Just Bottas, so far.
He hasn't
been confirmed for next season.
Oh, yet. They'll confirm him. They've obviously got to give him an opportunity.
So this is the game, right? We're going to fill in the spots.
Okay.
Alpine.
So obviously Ocon, and I would go Piastri.
Gasly. Oh, giving it away. AlphaTauri.
Oh, it's interesting. I'm thinking Gasly and Tsunoda.
I'm not sure if Gasly. Just Gasly.
Tsunoda's not
been confirmed for next season yet.
To be fair, I would give him another year.
We were talking about Tsunoda earlier on. We were like, you know, he looks like he's really ironed out his mistakes. Last couple of races,
yeah,
there's been some mistakes.
Yeah.
There's been some crashes with teammates. You know?
Yeah, no, it's true. That one's a question mark. But who else would go to AlphaTauri? See, do you know what would make more sense? Alonso going to AlphaTauri. Because I feel like they can actually make a bit of a difference.
I just can't imagine Alonso at a B team.
Nah, true. Yeah, ignore that. Scrap that. Delete.
Even if they are better than Aston Martin.
Yeah, delete it.
Which they are. Haas.
Well, Schumacher and K-Mag. But I don't know if K-Mag's actually been given a contract for next year.
Other way around.
Oh, so K-Mag. Oh, of course, K-Mag did get given a longer contract, but Schumacher doesn't have one, does he?
Correct.
I feel that they need to give him one more season.
I honestly, at this point, I don't think he's done anything to not deserve it.
The car's not performing, but I'd give him another year.
And I do feel like, you know, he's putting some decent results. I don't think he's lagging too far behind K-Mag.
No.
Who's a very experienced driver.
Yeah, I agree.
Aston Martin.
Well, obviously, Stroll and Alonso. Which is the most bizarre pairing?
Williams.
If I'm correct, neither of them are confirmed for next year.
You are correct. So who are you taking? If you're...
See, I...
can't remember the name of the guy. Not what he looks like. If you're the team principal...
Oh, yeah. Jean... isn't it Jean, something like that? I can't remember, whatever.
It's not Jean. It'd be John.
No, it's not John. It's not John.
No, no, but it's like, that's like, John is spelt like G-E-A-N in French, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what, right. Oh, God, why do you do this? Why do you bring up
this? Is it like J-O-S-T or something?
Jos Capito.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Jos. Like that. I was close. Okay. Interestingly, just thinking about AlphaTauri, if Tsunoda doesn't get another contract, I could actually see Albon going to AlphaTauri.
I personally, I don't think this is controversial. Albon is better than Tsunoda, in my opinion.
100%.
Yeah, so that makes sense to me. If they pick up Albon.
Yeah, that would make more sense. Because you've got two good drivers there, Gasly and
then
Albon.
They've got him back on the books.
Yeah.
For when Perez goes.
Yeah.
Because then Albon's got his experience. You know, that would all depend on how he performed AlphaTauri. But I think to me, that makes logical sense for Red Bull to look in that direction.
So the only question is, who do you put in the Williams? I could see someone like Nyck de Vries.
I think that is what people are talking about at the moment.
You know, it's a Mercedes team.
Yeah.
Put him in there. You know, he's a likely replacement in time for Hamilton. That's what people are saying.
Yeah.
Which I still don't agree with. However, that's what some people are saying, that actually he's in line. So get him in, get him some experience in F1. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Surely Latifi isn't going to be given another contract, surely.
If Latifi gets another contract, I will get a tattoo of a penis on my forehead.
Oh, please sign a new contract. that would be a great... Okay, clip that. Dan, can you please clip that and send that to me? Because
that is not happening. There's no way. And if it does, I'm not getting a tattoo because there's some bullshit going on there. He's paid someone. If he's getting a contract, he's paid someone.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect. I really like him. I was so happy for him when he got his FP3 P1. You know, he got the fastest overall, over like the whole weekend, he got the third fastest sector one.
Yeah.
In that Williams. You know, brilliant. And I would love to see him do well for himself. But there's no way he can be given a contract for next year.
If he signs a new contract, I would love it. Okay, so Nyck de Vries in one of the seats. If we're saying that if Albon goes to AlphaTauri, if Tsunoda doesn't get one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's your lineup. This can pan out however
I mean,
you
if
want.
Tsunoda doesn't get a seat, I would say Albon to AlphaTauri, Nyck de Vries to Williams. And do you know what? If you're bringing in someone young like that, or not, we say young, he's like 27, but if you're bringing in someone new to the sport like that, I wouldn't even mind seeing someone like, you know, Hulkenberg come back for a year or something. Do you know what I mean? Just give someone a bit of experience.
The thing is, would Williams not look to one of the F2 drivers?
Well, they can, but you know what it's like. You look at Mazepin and Schumacher when they first went into Haas.
It doesn't always work out.
It doesn't always work out. And I'm not saying it doesn't work out. It's just, I feel as a new driver coming to sport, you need to have that... that balance of experience
Do you think also at this point in time Williams need an experienced driver to come in and sort of be like, to be able to give them the accurate feedback from the car? Okay, no, this is what we need. You need to do this, change this.
I'm not saying Hulkenberg is an amazing driver, but he's been around the sport, he gets it, he understands it. And I like him for the sport, but I don't know who else from an experience point of view you would bring back.
Maldonado?
Imagine it. Felipe Massa? But you know what I mean? I don't know who is out there from an experience point of view who would still want to come back and race.
Do you think if Nico Rosberg came back, do you reckon he'd be good?
Yeah.
He's had many years out of the sport now.
Jenson Button come back. He's part of Williams. Can you imagine him coming back?
Oh my God. How old is he now?
Oh, he's, I don't know, late 30s, early 40s.
How old is Nico?
Oh, he must be like 35, 36.
That's not old, you know.
No, but he retired very...
I'm going to look at his age.
I think he's 35.
Oh, 37.
Oh, shit.
Oh, same age as Lewis, isn't he, I guess. Yeah. Sort of.
But, Who else do you think would go in from an experience point of view? There's not many people, is there? Now, I mean, you could say someone like Danny Rick if he left McLaren, but he's not going to leave McLaren next year.
No. And you can't, you know, I don't think you'd get someone. I know like Kubica's at...
Guy's just going to keep coming back and forth.
he's at Alfa Romeo. I just, you know, I don't think he's at the level anymore to...
No.
I know he's got an injury to one of his arms, hasn't he? Yeah. Now or something.
Who would you have then? Sorry, I know it's a bit long and we haven't even talked about the race yet, but who would you have? So let's talk about, let's not talk about the teams who are already done, but let's talk about, for example, AlphaTauri. Who would you have?
AlphaTauri, I think as a long-term plan, it makes sense to get Albon in. He's much more consistent than Tsunoda. He's, in terms of like relative to the car, he's performed a lot better than Tsunoda. I think that makes Tsunoda the reserve driver. Give the seat to Albon. Just because then you've got Perez for another year.
Yeah.
And then if Albon's performed really well, maybe Gasly would have performed well. But then you've got two good contenders for that spare seat.
Williams, who'd you pick?
Yeah, Williams. Nick De Vries does make sense. It's, you know, he has proven himself at like top level motorsport racing.
He needs to get into sports soon because he's getting to a point now where he's like going to miss his opportunity.
If it doesn't happen this season, it will never happen.
Yeah.
So someone like that. And then I think an experienced F1 driver would make sense in that Williams team.
Montoya?
Give the feedback. Montoya, he must be so old now. Maybe Grosjean.
Yeah.
He's still racing IndyCar. Someone of that who's not going to... They're not going to take over the world. They're not going to change everything.
But they can help ease.
They might be able to like build the team up a little bit. They know the sport. They're not going to have to sort of warm into it.
Yeah,
I think that could help the Williams team.
Guys, let us know. Would you think from a Williams point of view, you have someone who's new into sport like Nick De Vries and then somebody like, you know, an experienced driver? Or do you think Williams should just scrap that and go for two new drivers, two rookies in the sport, and see how they get on? Let us know. Comment down below. It's going to be interesting. And I'm pretty sure over the next month or so, we're going to actually see some of those lineups confirmed.
Yeah,
which is exciting.
Summer normally produces contract announcements, doesn't it? Like, for next season.
But Piastri makes more sense for Alpine.
Yeah, and he deserves a seat.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Shall we talk about the race?
Yeah.
I feel like we've talked good stuff about... Alonso.
Yeah.
Alpine. And let's get into the race. So, practice. The Hungarian Grand Prix. If you don't know if you don't know anything about it, then strap yourself in because it's an exciting one. You said earlier at the beginning you weren't expecting big things and you actually think it was better than last year.
It's a hard track to overtake at.
It is. But obviously you had last year Bottas using everything as like a 10-pin bowling.
Yeah, did you see Lando Norris's joke after?
No.
Was it after or before? It might have been after qualifying. And they were like asking him if there were any cons about tomorrow. And he was like, well, Bottas isn't too far behind me, so. Which I thought was quite funny. I know.
It is good. Let's talk about practice. So P1, P2 was pretty much dominated by Ferrari. Carlos Sainz went fastest in P1. Leclerc went fastest in P2. FP3, well, what can we say?
FP3 is where the goats come alive.
It was a bit of dry, a bit of rain, had a bit of everything, but Nicholas Latifi, and I'm going to say this, was fastest in FP3. And can I just say thank you to everyone who automatically just messaged me going, Matt, you must be shitting yourself now for the tattoo. I was actually quite calm.
He was shitting
himself. I was actually quite calm, to be fair. Ferrari's still up there, but fair play to Latifi. He was first and phenomenal.
All I will say as well is if you're a Mercedes fan, you endured three of the most painful free practice sessions.
I think if you're a Mercedes fan, skip practice. One thing you learn this year, skip practice, come around for qualifying, and then really wake up on race day.
Yeah.
That's how I would, that's how, if you're, you know, you are a Mercedes fan, that's how I would see it going. But can I just say a massive shout out to Albon, who was also third in FP3.
Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah, no, that, I don't know. I don't really know what happened.
No. Well, you can kind of tell, it was because it went from dry to wet. And it was,
I know,
just...
but even when Leclerc heard what time Latifi done, he was like,
what?
Yeah, like, really?
But you look, Max Verstappen was 1.7 seconds behind Latifi. That's mad. That's
goat,
mad.
Goat behaviour.
But Nicholas Latifi, well done. For this episode, we're not going to say anything negative about you. Actually, crap, we already have done.
No, all I said is that he doesn't deserve a contract next year.
Yeah, and if you don't take that negative, then there's something wrong with you. So let's talk about qualifying, shall we? Interesting qualifying. We'll see. Latifi is the only guy who can go fastest in the first sector, then get green second sector.
Yeah, so he got a personal best.
And then get a yellow third sector and finish
dead
P20.
Last. Dead
only
last.
Nicholas Latifi can do that.
I think they were saying on commentary, they're like, I don't think anyone's ever finished first in FP3 and then last in qualifying.
Nicholas Latifi, hold my drink.
That is a record right there, my friend.
And one he's very proud of. One he's very proud of. It just made me laugh. I was just like, wow, purple. Okay, green. All right, this is on for a good one here. I was thinking, is he going to get into like Q2, Q3?
It was the last corner he fucked.
Yeah.
If he didn't, he would have been into Q2. I think. I don't know what the numbers are, because I know a personal best in the Williams is probably not very competitive.
No.
So I don't know what Sector 2 was like, and I don't know what Sector 3 was going to be like. But surely he got the fastest first sector. How much time could he have lost?
That's just mental, isn't it? Let's quickly touch on Q1, because Pierre Gasly, P19. Who would have thought that?
Shocker.
Sebastian Vettel went out again in P18. Albon, 17th. Tsunoda, 16th. Those AlphaTauris are poor. Really poor at the moment.
Yeah. It's a rough season. Then.
Looking at Q2, both Hasses went out. Lance Stroll went out. Zhou and Perez in the Red Bull in P11. Which was quite interesting, because they were saying actually nothing was wrong with that car.
Do you know what I've heard? And I did tell you about this.
Did you?
But I'm going to tell all of you as well. What I've heard
is that
Sergio Perez has been running the legal version of the Red Bull floor. So obviously, you know, we spoke about it. You've probably heard about it. All the controversy around Ferrari and Red Bull's floors that flex too much, which is, I don't know the engineering behind it, but pretty sure it generates more downforce. But they're only allowed to flex a certain amount. So they found to be, you know, breaching the rules. The FIA gave them a pretty long time to sort it out. They have to have these new floors in for Spa. It was meant to be France, but yeah, they extended it. Now, that is why people are speculating that there's no truth necessarily behind this. That since, I want to say, Silverstone, Perez has been running this like new floor, which is like the legal one.
Which would make sense on why he's been so poor.
And it would also make sense for Red Bull to actually do that, because now they can upgrade that floor and they're getting all the data from it. So when it does have to come in, you know, at least it's half decent. Very interesting if that is true, because how is that going to affect the second half of the season? I know Max is quicker than Perez. There's no denying that. But if Max is all of a sudden in this car that the Mercedes are able to beat, the Ferraris can beat it easily, how is that going to shape up the second half of the season? You know, Charles Leclerc can afford... Well, he can't afford to not win every race.
No.
So if he wins every single race, including the sprint race, and gets the fastest lap on every single race, he finishes 1 point behind Max Verstappen, who we assume finishes second in everything. Right, but if all of a sudden Max is getting P5s and Charles is in the dominant car, which the Ferrari is, they're able to keep it reliable, he's able to keep it consistent. I don't know, It could shake up the second half of the season.
I find it interesting. Obviously, they basically decided Perez is going to be the guinea pig of that. And they pretty much like, you know, Perez, you're out of the title race. Here we go.
So would that have happened if Perez was ahead of Max on points? If he was 25 points ahead in the championship, would Max have got the dodgy floor?
No. Not in the slightest. You know who the golden boy is in that team. And it would always be Perez who gets to be the guinea pig in this situation. I can't see any other solution to that. They would rather Perez suffer and Max gain than vice versa.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I low-key understand it. But yeah, no, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe that explains why Perez was P11.
Who's P11, yeah.
Because Max's P10 is not representative of...
No.
He had engine issues.
So let's talk about Q3, because obviously Max went out, had engine issues, had to change the ICE as well.
But it was within their, like, allowance.
He didn't have to change it. He didn't get any penalties with it, but that was really interesting. So Max started P10, Danny Ric got P9. Bottas was in Q3 for the first time since Miami, I think it was. So I can't remember where it was. Lewis Hamilton, P7. But the issue is with Lewis Hamilton, I was really hopeful, but his DRS didn't open, so that scuppered his lap.
Lewis would have been P1.
P1, P2, I feel like.
Yeah. It was a Mercedes front row lockout this weekend, 100%.
Massive shout out to Alpine's P5, P6.
Quality from them. Again, they're getting consistent.
Their pace is good, but what's letting them down is their strategy.
Yeah.
They've obviously been having dinner with Ferrari, but...
We will discuss.
Ferrari, P2, P3. Sainz went out. He was a bit disappointed with his final lap, and out of nowhere, George Russell.
What about P4?
Lando Norris. I was going to get onto that. I was going to go backwards, all right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's what you get on this podcast. Sense. P4, Lando Norris. Phenomenal lap by him. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's really pushing that car to its limit.
You know, I said about I had a story for you what Rosberg said about Danny Ric last week, and I realised I never actually said it. So Rosberg came out on Sky Sports and said, "You know what? I've been really impressed with Danny Ric, and he's starting to turn it around." What the fuck have you been watching? Like, I'm not being funny,
mind you. He made a really nice overtake yesterday.
Oh yeah, well done. One overtake this year.
Yeah, true is.
I mean, he's not outperforming. He's not getting back into it. He started P9. Your teammate got P4, okay? And so Lando got a 117.769. Danny Ric got a 118.379. That's
quite a big gap. Like, when you put it into race pace terms.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
so Rosberg, I don't know what you're on, but Danny Ric really isn't turning it around. And he showed that in the race, getting a bloody 5-second penalty for deciding to crash into, was it Stroll? But we'll get onto the race in a minute. But George Russell, phenomenal lap, put him first ever pole. He was brilliant.
Yeah.
Really impressed with him, really impressed. Should we talk about the race?
Yeah.
So it looked like it was going to start raining. Held off.
It was on the cusp the whole time.
I guarantee the FIA were loving it. They were like, all right, we're going to postpone the race by about, you know, 50 minutes, just like Monaco. Yeah. We haven't tested the wets around here.
As a Mercedes fan, I'm allowed to give my personal opinions.
You know?
I was praying that it didn't rain because that Mercedes looked so bad in the wet. That was like, so bad. Yeah. I can't even explain it. It was like embarrassing to watch. It was painful.
So good start by Russell.
Yeah.
Brilliant start by Hamilton. Took both the Alpines.
Yeah.
In the first corner.
Speaking of the Alpines, a very, very weird start from them.
Yeah.
And I watched Ocon's on board. The only person he is looking at is Alonso. He's looking in his mirrors, watching Alonso. Completely neglects, like, the left-hand side.
They scuppered their own race there.
They just completely gave away these positions.
Yeah.
That was so weird. And it's not the first time we've seen them fight.
It's a weird dynamic, isn't it? And I don't know if that contributes to Alonso, like, you know, get me out of this team. I don't want to be, you know, with Ocon. But there is a bit of tension there, and you're starting to see it.
I mean, Alonso wasn't happy.
A lot off the track, they look good. Alonso even came out and said, out of all my years of racing, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I mean...
basically saying, what the hell is this kid doing?
It was bizarre, because it only hampered both of them. I mean, I'm not being funny, right? I know you want to win, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're against your teammate. But if I want anyone to overtake me, it's my teammate. I'd be like, okay, look, Fernando's coming down the inside. Why don't I just block off? I think it was Lewis.
It was Hamilton. He could have blocked off Lewis.
And then you're both in front. Now, Lewis would have found it so hard to overtake those Alpines.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the way the Mercedes tyres failed to warm up until like 6 or 7 laps. You know, it would have given them like a real good opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, Fernando would have loved to have ruined Lewis's race.
He would have.
You know, he did it last year.
We'll touch on this in a second.
He would have loved to have done it again. So... I just found it strange.
I have a bone to pick with Alonso, but I'll get onto that in a second. So Russell started on softs. Both Ferraris started on mediums. Obviously, it was quite interesting going on softs, because I don't know if they just went on softs expecting there to be some rain. You know, they were thinking, oh, we might, you know, use the softs, get a good, you know, lead, then we come in on intermediates. But obviously, the rain didn't come.
See, I thought they started on softs to try and get track position.
Well, yeah. Well, this is what they were discussing. They were like, are they doing it to get the pace? Because obviously the softs didn't last as long. They only lasted potentially about 14 laps, where the mediums could go on a bit longer. But some of the strategies were a bit weird yesterday. Let's just touch on, so Alonso, defense on Max Verstappen. I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, Max had a great start.
There wasn't a defense, really, was there?
So, Fernando Alonso, I've seen you battle people like Russell, Lewis Hamilton. You give them
last year.
You hold them up. You do everything you can to not let these cars pass.
Last year, he gave Lewis hell.
Yeah. Even sometimes this year, yes.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
specifically
Hungary
last year.
He gave Lewis hell, and it was a brilliant drive from him in a much, much slower car.
And I'm not being funny. You basically just waved him by.
Lando did the same.
This is my next point. Lando Norris. So 2 weeks in a row now. We discussed it last week in France, and we discussed it again. But I want to discuss it again now.
Firstly, he ran Lewis off the track. All fair. I don't think Lando did anything wrong. He fought him hard. And it, you know, made Lewis go off the track. Completely fair. Okay. But
Max Verstappen comes up.
He just waved him past.
Yeah. Exactly like France. And we literally had the same discussion last week, didn't we? He just lets him by. I don't know what it is. I don't know if Lando is trying to get, you know, buy himself into that seat at Red Bull and like, do you know what? I can really help you here, Max. Enjoy yourself. There you go.
Is it just the friendship thing?
I don't know if Alonso, obviously Alonso doesn't seem to like Lewis. I'm going to hold him up. But Max, don't worry, mate. Go past. Absolutely fine. I know we touched on this last week. It just irritates me because if you're a racing driver, you're actually racing for track position. And you're making it so easy for Max just to go past. They bloody challenged Perez, didn't they? They held Perez up.
It is funny. I mean, I was actually speaking about it with like the guys I was watching it with. I was like, I swear people just let Max through.
It's just like, I've never seen anything like it. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a Mercedes fan. If you're...
You can be unbiased and watch it. He just sails through. They just let him go.
And I want to hear from Max fans. You know, do you agree with what we're saying? And do you actually go, do you know what?
And yeah, just to back us up, we're not discrediting anything Max does. Look, Max started 10th, spun, and still won the race. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we're just saying, every now and then, people just let him go through.
Yeah. Just seems a bit weird, doesn't it? Later on, obviously, Ocon pitted, came out, I think he was just in front of Alonso. And again, those two just held each other up. Danny Ric, as you said earlier, with the amazing overtake, took both Alpines. But that was simply because
they were fighting each other.
If you're the team principal, surely you've got to start getting a grip of this and going, this has got to stop. Because
you're giving away positions. Fair enough if you're at the front fighting.
Yeah, it was poor. What was interesting, though, was they started on mediums and they came out on hards. Those hard tyres did not work.
So also what I read is apparently Pirelli, like, you know, they give their recommended on all, like, out of all the, like, alternative strategies, none of them included a hard tire. So I have no idea what Alpine were doing.
No. Haas.
Haas. Did Danny Rick come out on hards?
No, I don't think so.
Obviously, the big one, Charles Leclerc.
Yep.
Came out. That was the weirdest one, because he was one of the last people to actually go onto the hards.
Yeah.
So they would have had all the data that had all the track times, and they would have been able to see, actually, these aren't working. You know, at times it looked like they were on ice on the hards.
This couldn't get temperature into those tyres at all, could they?
There was absolutely no pace in them.
Yeah.
And what? Because Charles started on the softs.
No, Charles was on mediums.
Mediums.
Both Ferraris on mediums.
Yeah, yeah, medium. So
George was on soft.
They could have just done medium, soft, medium. Medium, what? Medium, soft.
Yeah.
Like Lewis did. Like, you know, Carlos did.
Let's talk about Ferrari strategy. Because at one point, you know, Leclerc was leading. He was looking fast. He was looking good. They pitted him already for mediums. He went on to mediums. He went from mediums to mediums, which is fine. But obviously with that, you can't come back in again for mediums. He was having good pace. Don't get me wrong, Max had come in. He had gone on to fresh mediums as well. He was looking like he was just catching.
The undercut was dead powerful.
Dead powerful. What was interesting, though, was there was a gap of, like, I think it was 16, 17 seconds between Max and Leclerc. Then, I don't know whether Ferrari got worried or they panicked with their decision, but they just brought Leclerc in and then he put him on hard tyres. I was thinking to myself, and it was interesting listening to Martin Brundle and Crofty, because they were going, are those hard tyres? Because I'm not being funny. Everyone who watched that race knew those hard tyres were awful.
Yeah.
The only explanation which Martin Brundle could come up with is actually, because obviously Ferrari have a lower downforce, so they're wondering whether they think they could get more heat into the tyres.
They couldn't.
But I'm not being funny. That was never going to be the case. Leclerc came out afterwards and said, you know, I said to the team I was happy on those mediums. You know, they were going. They could have continued him longer on those mediums and then brought him in for softs, which is what they did with Carlos Sainz.
And then he would have really put pressure on Max
at
the end. Like we saw, you know, Lewis cutting through the pack. And, you know, if he had, I know, tyre deg and whatnot, 10 more laps, 5 more laps, Max would have been under real pressure.
Yeah.
And, you know, Charles could... That was Charles's race.
It was.
Again, how many times are we going to say that, right? I've got a little thing here, right? I've got quite a few stats about Charles Leclerc now. Charles Leclerc and Ferrari. Who has more podiums this season? Charles Leclerc or Lewis Hamilton?
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. Hamilton has 6. Leclerc has 5. Now, that, to me, is just not like a fair representation of the season. And, you know, Charles should have 10 under his belt. I'm pretty sure Mercedes now have the same amount as Ferrari.
Yeah.
That is insane. The car is so much worse.
Well, you know, I didn't understand it.
Oh, because... no, Mercedes have now been on the podium more times than Ferrari.
Binotto has come out and said, I don't know if you've heard this, Binotto says Hungarian Grand Prix wasn't winnable for Ferrari and that tyre choice wasn't a decisive factor.
You liar.
I know we're not the most technically gifted presenters with regards to, you know, how cars work, but we're not thick. Binotto, tyres was a massive factor in that yesterday.
The fact that he went onto those hards, he couldn't even overtake Sergio Perez. I'm sorry, like, you ruined his race. I said, what was it? It was like lap 40, Binotto like dipped off the pit wall. I thought he was fucking a fat of hungry.
I'm
not speaking to Leclerc after this. I'm getting out of here.
Have you seen some of those memes? The girl text saying, come over. I can't. I'm watching. No one's at home. I'm away. And it is that good. But he's come out and he said, based on our data and our analysis, we knew the hard tyre was not as fast as a medium. No shit. But it could have been as fast 11 laps into the stint. Yes, it didn't work, and we would not have fitted them if we had known that would be as bad. Surely, okay.
Use the data.
Have you not seen data from Alpine's, Haas? Have you not seen the data from that to actually highlight that those tyres do not work?
And what was it? Was it FP1 where, because the Astons were trying out their new rear wing, they ran on hards for pretty much all of that.
Yeah.
They could have got a good understanding of lap times where they improve. Just looking back at the FP1 data, from because I'm, you know, all lap times are available to everyone, can see all the lap times. Ferrari were a big discussion last week about tactics. They've been a big discussion over a number of different weeks. They're a discussion again this week. How many people are losing their job this summer?
Oh, do you know what?
There's a handful of people that are at real risk.
So Bonotto was asked about, you know, what is there anything wrong with the car? Is that he said something was wrong with the car, how we set up for conditions of today that made
wrong with the car?
Harder life for the tyres. And certainly as a consequence, the hard tyre was working very badly. Again, you should just look at the data.
There was nothing wrong with the car. The car... He
was asked...
Now the excuses, that's winding me up. Because, you know, someone like Charles, who is a young man, having this championship ripped away from him by his own team, he needs someone who's a leader that is going to come out and be like, look, we're accepting responsibility for this. We're failing Carlos and Charles here. We're going to do better. You can't just like sugarcoat the problems.
I love the fact that actually one of their main strategists, actually they got him support this season because he was struggling. So they've got someone in to help him. And they're still not working well.
It's got worse.
Bonotto was asked if they could have won the Hungarian Grand Prix. He said, I don't think so. As I said before, we were lacking pace. No, you weren't. The pace actually looked reasonably good. Don't get me wrong, you may not have finished first, but you're probably on for a second or third.
If they got strategy right, they would have finished first.
And I don't think we would have won today because it's the first time in these races that we didn't have the speed so much to be there for a victory. I feel like you're just covering... Fair play, you're covering for your team. Fair play for that. You're not blaming anyone for this. But you've got to take a real hard look at yourself because you are now 97 points adrift of Red Bull with 9 races to go. What? Leclerc is a full 80 points adrift from Max Verstappen.
You know, there are only 20 points in front of Mercedes in the constructors. With
mental.
Ferrari, okay, I'm going to look down the lens. Ferrari have the best car on the grid. No question about it. You know, the reason they're not first is because of the team as a whole. The drivers have made a few individual errors. A lot of it has come down to reliability, strategy.
It's
not working. Something is not right there.
And something needs to drastically change for them to get their season back on course. And like we said before, if they do not finish, if Charles Leclerc does not finish second and Ferrari do not finish second in the constructors, that is a shocking season.
That
for a car like that, you know, with that pace in that car and those two drivers, if they do not finish second...
That, to me, they need to look at Bonotto and is he the right man for the job?
Yeah.
Because Ferrari, after how many years? After 15 years, finally have a car that is the car.
Yeah.
And they might not even get second. I mean, insane. You know, and you got to look at the top.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you on that. Let's just finish quickly off the race. So a shocking decisions from that. Max Verstappen even had to do a 360 spin because he was so bored and then still went on to win the race. Phenomenal job by Max. He looked class. He looked, you know,
he looked
straight from the word go. He was phenomenal all weekend.
He looked like the driver that I think we described him as last week.
Drove like a champion.
He did.
And he was brilliant. Lewis Hamilton, P2. Started P7, P2. He was quite under the radar, really. Did his bit. Good strategy by the team. He started on mediums.
He went under the radar until, like, his last stint on the softs, where... Yeah.
He came to life.
I mean, fastest man on the track.
Yeah.
He got the fastest lap.
Because he went mediums, mediums, then came in for softs, and it worked to beauty.
This, like, this weekend really showed to me, okay, and I know strategy plays into people's hands a lot, but it really showed me how clear Lewis and Max are.
Oh, yeah.
They are just so good.
They're above the rest.
Yeah, and it is... It is quite impeccable. I know Charles got dealt a bad hand, but I'm also using the season to summarise this.
Yeah. I mean, just quickly touching on, because I know you've got to go soon because you've got to drive to Heathrow.
Yeah.
Russell, P3. I think if you're Russell, you've got to be a bit disappointed in that considering you did start on pole. I think he drove a good race, some good battles.
I think especially to lose to Lewis.
Yeah.
That's what I think will...
You've got to be a bit disappointed.
We'll get that under his skin a little bit.
Carlos Sainz, fourth. Sergio Perez, fifth. And Leclerc, sixth, which is just... is shocking, really. Shocking. Do you know what? I'm going to give props to Alpine. Shocking strategy. They made awful decisions by putting them both on hards. But they still finished P8 and P9.
Yeah.
So...
And Alonso got his way in the end. He finished ahead of Ocon.
Nico... Rosberg, Daniel Ric finished 15th. Don't get me wrong, he wasn't having an awful race, but then he got a 5-second penalty, kind of just went off, and yeah, not great.
Speaking of going under the radar, actually, I do just want to talk about this quickly. You spoke about Lewis Hamilton. Max obviously gained the most positions in this race, right? He gained 9. Who gained the second most?
Vettel?
And how many was it?
8?
Yeah.
Was that right?
Yeah. He gained 8 positions.
Yeah.
What a quality race.
P10.
Yeah.
See, he's still got it. You can't get rid of him.
So, you know, and to be honest, Stroll, he did a good job as well. P11.
Stroll is consistent. Don't get me wrong. I know we've given Stroll stick. Lance Stroll is consistent with those P10, P11s, P12s each week.
Yeah.
He drives that type of race.
If he could just... That's the thing. If the car had a little bit more performance, it could get points.
Yeah.
With the right drivers. I do think Seb and Stroll are pretty consistent.
Yeah. No, I agree.
What I should also say is Pierre Gasly also gained 8 positions. Not a bad race for him.
Not bad, no.
Obviously, yeah, not good for Tsunoda. Worse for Bottas, but he obviously didn't finish anyway.
No. Awful weekend for Alfa Romeo. But big winners, Mercedes, you know, being P2, P3, phenomenal. Big losers, I'd say Ferrari. Red Bull.
Red Bull, yeah. Massive winners.
Massive props. I'm going to say this, okay? Red Bull, do you know what? You have a phenomenal driver, Max Verstappen. Your strategy is on point. Every week is phenomenal.
Impeccable.
Even when that car, they even said at one point a failed 21 or something. They even had complications with Max's car, even in the race, and they still pulled that out. So fair play. Like, you'll win the constructors this year. And then pain to say, but you fully deserve it.
They regularly drop 2-second pit stops. You never see it in the threes. No. You know, and we can talk. Mercedes have had pretty good race strategies this season.
Yeah.
Pit stops still let them down. We consistently get like 4-second pit stops. Red Bull are just, they tick every single
class.
Box.
They're absolutely class. Just finishing on the standings. So Max Verstappen takes an 80-point lead heading into the summer break. Charles Leclerc is obviously second. Perez is third. He is 5 points behind Charles Leclerc, which is pretty mental.
George Russell has leapfrogged Carlos Sainz.
Sorry, do you want to look at my screen?
I can just pluck these ideas out of your head. I just know what you're thinking.
Yeah, no, he's gone into P4, 2 points clear of Carlos Sainz, which is mental. Lewis Hamilton is 10 points behind Carlos Sainz.
He's right there.
It's going to get juicy. It's going to get juicy after the summer break, and I cannot wait.
Well, obviously, it was Mercedes. Second double podium in a row.
Yeah.
Right? So that means... And it was actually the same podium.
I love this. I've never seen Luke do any research. This is amazing.
Here it is. So it was the same podium as it was last week.
Yeah.
Right? Who finished first last week?
Max.
Who finished second?
Hamilton.
And this week?
George.
What? this week, George. That doesn't make any sense.
Would you
finish first and second this week?
Oh, Max and Lewis.
The same. Okay. So Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton got their 31st 1-2 finish today. Don't think it's necessarily in that order, but just the pair of them, right? And that equals the record of 1-2 finishes of two drivers.
Who are the other two drivers?
Who are they?
Oh. Vettel, Webber, Schumacher, Barrichello,
Rosberg, Hamilton.
No, really?
Yeah, I thought that was
that's quite interesting. Actually,
yeah, that is well interesting. Yeah. Lewis Hamilton in both. That right there is 62 podiums. 62 of his podiums
have been with two drivers. That's mental. See, you come here, you get stats.
And I do have one other stat from the weekend.
Oh, I like this.
So I know that wasn't a record breaker. It was a record equaler. But we do have a record breaker. A weird one. Lewis Hamilton beats Bill Vukovic's 67-year-old record. 67.
He was a good driver, that guy.
Yeah, I remember him. for the most laps led at a single venue in world championship history. And apparently it's one of the oldest records of them all. So obviously Lewis has led the most amount of laps at Hungary.
That's quite interesting to know, actually.
So he, yeah.
He always does quite well there, to be fair.
But that's the most amount of laps led at a single venue.
He's a record breaker, isn't he?
Yeah. I just thought that was quite a cool stat to be, you know, 67 years old and it's another record broken.
He just keeps smashing it, doesn't he?
Will Max Verstappen break any of Lewis's records?
If he keeps going the way he is, I think so.
Max is a driver that is capable of equaling that level.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
He's the only driver who...
I hope he doesn't break any of them.
No.
If he gets given the car across the years, well, it's going to get tight.
It is going to get tight. But, do you want to do fan questions quickly?
Yeah, sure. Every week, we post on our Instagram at RacecastInsta, which you are more than welcome to follow. We'd actually love it if you did it. So go and do it right now.
Right.
We post on there saying, send us your questions and we'll go through them on the podcast. So we've done that. And right now, I'm going to go through them. Yeah, I feel like I asked you last week. So you can ask me.
Right. So thank you to everyone who gets in your question. Send in your questions. Junmei has asked, who do you think, this is a good question, who do you think is the worst teammate this season? To me, it's Ocon. He screwed Alonso a lot. Interesting question. Luke, who is the worst teammate this season?
I mean, hasn't Tsunoda taken Gasly out like twice?
Yeah.
I'd probably say Tsunoda. The Ocon thing's difficult, right? Because it's just hard racing.
Yeah.
But then I appreciate their teammates. And it depends what defines a bad teammate. Is Danny Ric a bad teammate? Because Lando's the only one that brings points to the table.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no like beef between them or anything, but...
You could say the same about Latifi and Albon.
Yeah.
I know Albon has only got 3 points, but...
You know, surely if you know your teammate is finishing dead last every race, that's a pretty bad teammate. I get the question, though. I don't know. I don't know if Ocon is... It's the worst.
You could even say Stroll, Vettel. They've had some coming together. Yeah. They're always battling.
Last week, that was pretty dirty from Stroll.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unusual. You know, even yesterday, George raced Lewis.
Yeah.
Lewis was much quicker. If George was able to hold him up for... You know, there was this idea that Lewis might be able to put pressure on Max because we hadn't had the VSC. You know, and George could have... taken away that opportunity. I think he was completely right to race him.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate team orders. They wind me up. So I don't know. I don't think Ocon is a bad teammate.
No.
I don't really think any of them are. I would honestly have to say someone like where it is so one-sided, like Danny Ric, where he's not bringing the points to the team.
Does that make him a bad teammate?
Yeah, and it's not intentional, but that I know if I'm like racing for a team and you want them to do well,
yeah,
that would wind me up.
No, Let us know. Who do you think? Right, this is a... Alexander has asked, should Leclerc leave Ferrari if a seat opens up at one of the big teams?
Ferrari are one of the big teams. I will just make that clear now. I mean, you got... I mean, realistically, McLaren are one of the big teams.
Well, I think...
Are you thinking... I mean... It's interesting because after this season, I would think, well, what if Mercedes do come knocking or Red Bull do come knocking? I know that the team that Mercedes have in place are capable of winning world championships.
Championship winning team.
I know that the team that Red Bull have in place are a championship winning team.
Yeah.
You know, even look back to Horner was there through Seb's days, you know, when they won four in a row. Last season, you know, the flawless plan with Max the whole year. That's the same team.
Yeah.
Ferrari, okay, I know their legacy. They're a championship-winning team. The individuals that are there now, I'm sure many of them were not there through that period.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I don't think he will, but if I were him, I would definitely listen to some offers, if any came.
But Ferrari are one of the big teams.
I mean, honestly, the Ferrari are the biggest team.
This is an interesting question. Jake has asked, do you think that they should let the teams design and build their own wheels and tyres instead of Pirelli?
Ooh.
That's quite good. That's a good question. I've never really thought about that. I would
like that.
I think that would be quite interesting.
That would... Oh my God, that would mix the whole thing up. Because then they'd be designing the car to specifically work with these tyres and...
Degradation, all of this stuff. It could be interesting.
That I would love to see that. We will never see that.
No. I would rate that, though. I would rate that.
That is a really good... That's a really good thought as well. I've never had that thought.
Who would be good at it? Because I think teams like people like Mercedes, I think, would be good at that because they're good at tyre management. You've got someone like Lewis Hamilton, good at tyre management. You've got people like, I'm not being funny, you've got Albon in the Williams, who's really good at tyre management.
Perez.
You know, I think it would really mix up the grid. I think it'd be quite interesting. Good question. Let us know what you think. Matty has said, would you fight 100 duck-sized Alonsos or one Alonso-sized duck?
Well, I mean, I'd easily beat up just... Oh, an Alonso-sized duck. I'm not having that. No, 'cause the beak would be massive, wouldn't it? Nah, fuck that. I'd just stamp on the little ducks. I'd feel bad. I would. That would be the only problem, right?
I love the fact that of all the in-depth questions and really good, knowledgeable questions, this is the one that Luke's taken real thought on.
I would happily punch a duck that was the size of Fernando Alonso.
Okay.
I couldn't stamp...
on 100 duck-sized Alonsos.
Oh, but it would be Alonso. Oh, he'd look like a little baby. No, I'd have to fight the big duck. Just firm it.
Matty, fair play, because you've really got him thinking. Finally, Nathan has asked, what round will a championship be decided officially?
24 races this year?
Yeah. We've got 9 left to go.
Number 21.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Though this floor situation could get interesting.
Mix it up. Massively. I'm thinking somewhere, because you've got, when we come back from the summer break, we've obviously got Belgium, Netherlands, Italy, Singapore, Japan. I think by potentially round 19, 20, Mexico, United States and Mexico, you could actually probably see one of the championships done.
Oh, I think... if everything continues as is, we'll see the constructors done probably like round 17.
I don't think it'd be that early. What, Singapore, Japan? I don't think it'd be that early. I do think round 19, 20, you'll probably see them constructors done.
Yeah, I guess it depends if Mercedes. I have no faith in Ferrari now. I even said in my prediction last week, oh, they'll be 1-2. It can't go wrong again.
We got ripped to shreds for that, by the way. Rightly so, because that was a poor take.
Well, was it?
No, it wasn't a poor take.
They were the two fastest cars, right? They were the two best cars on the track this weekend. The team fucked them.
Yeah.
They should...
But we should have learned. The team's been fucking all season.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, is it's annoying because I used to always put Lewis on the podium. I got mocked for it. And then I stopped, and now he's getting podiums.
Just keep stopping then.
I'm not going to start again. Don't want to jinx it.
Yeah. Next week, Alonso on the podium.
I'm going to put Max on the podium now.
Wow, what a shock. No one saw that coming. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Luke, thank you very much. Remember, check us out on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and you can also listen on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating, really appreciate it. Almost near 100 ratings on there, so thank you very much for that.
Very nice.
We'll be back next week. I'm not going to tell you too much about next week. We'll obviously bring you latest news, but we've got some exciting stuff happening over the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. And until next time, I shall catch you later. Bye-bye.